Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to Kate Loving and the Collective Wisdom. My name is Kate Loving Schenk of katelovingschenk.com, prayerprescriptions.com, and the author of the Prayer Prescriptions series, Amazon. So this evening, I'm doing something a little different. I usually have guests on the show, and this evening maybe we'll have some call-in guests, which would be awesome. And we will be discussing the power of prayer, which my prayer prescription books do address. And I have another podcast called Kate Loving's Prayer Podcast, Prayer Prescriptions That Rewire Assumptions About Our Everyday Reality or Your Everyday Reality. So there's an acronym in there. When you rewire your beliefs, your thoughts, your expectations, your preferences, your attitudes, you actually do rewire your brain. And that is what that podcast is about, but it often is just me talking again without having any guests. So this evening, I want to address the difference between religion and spirituality. And is there really a separation between the two, or is that something that man has, or and women have manufactured as a way to keep the separation alive and well, separating the duality? The duality is what confuses people. They need to feel oneness within their hearts and within their spirits in order to understand and to plug into the spiritual realm, which is our heritage. We were born into this world, and I am a labor and delivery nurse, so I see so many babies being born into this physical realm, and in many cases, they're born, and they sort of like scream because, oh my God, what have I gotten myself into? But prior to that birth, they had been very safe and in a sort of a cocoon, and when the embryo was being created, as a baby that finally is birthed. And it's just amazing to think about that because there's absolutely no one interfering with that. People don't interfere with it because we have faith that this process is being taken care of. And as soon as the baby is born, we think that we have to take over. No way has that worked so far, and will it ever work? Because we need to surrender that beautiful being into the arms of God throughout their lives, or goddess, or divine intelligence. You know, the intelligence that created us is what we need to stay in alignment with. Now, as far as religion and spirituality being different from each other, I think spirituality tends to be more open-ended, more open-armed, more full of embrace, and religion it's not the fault of Jesus or any of the great saints, but it's what man has and women have created is this box because there is a spiritual element to religion, putting that kind of spirit into a box and pretending that that one religion over another has the answer and the other religion doesn't have the answer. I would hope that this is changing, but I haven't really seen that it has. In other words, the Episcopalians think they have the answer and the Lutherans are all wrong. I don't know if the Lutherans feel the same way about Episcopalians, but I know that the Episcopalians have that tendency to see life that way. And, of course, Roman Catholics think they have the only answer. We all know that. But Pope Francis is possibly taking that into a whole new realm of spiritual understanding. So you can be very religious and you can be spiritual. And you can be very spiritual and you can be religious. It's tapping into that mystical quality that is what is needed for surpassing all the limitations of the mind and all the dualities of the mind and the fears and the angst and the resentments and the lack of forgiveness, which is the tendency of so many people and even spiritual people. So that is why I decided to study A Course in Miracles probably for the 10th time in 30 years. It took, I used to do it quite regularly, and maybe over the last 10 or more years I stopped doing it. But now that I am back to doing it, it has uncovered quite a few insights and aha experiences and quantum shifts within my consciousness. And really, A Course in Miracles is a study that is meant to change your mind, is meant to rewire your brain. And one of the prayers that I love so much that we say, or could say if you wish, every morning when you wake up, where would you have me go? What would you have me do? What would you have me say? And to whom? And you put that out into the cosmos, and the great divine intelligence is then able to guide you throughout the day. Not only that, but there is a 365 workbook. Every day is a sort of a mantra, I would say. So it starts out kind of dismantling your brain, and after it does that, dismantling your thought system about thinking that everything outside of yourself is real, and then it restructures your brain to realize that everything inside of yourself is real and everything outside is a figment of the imagination. And that doesn't mean that we don't, it doesn't mean that we don't pay attention to the suffering of the world. In fact, we seek solutions and we contribute to those solutions. And that is what the Course in Miracles really means. And we tap into the invisible energy through A Course in Miracles to help us to align ourselves with the intelligence that created us and to rid ourselves of all the fear consciousness, the ego consciousness that has kind of catapulted humankind into all kinds of catastrophes, including the climate catastrophe, including all the starving children, including Syrian and refugees and all the refugees of the past. All through history, there's been excuses as to why we have to hate one another. And this is so completely erroneous. So one of my favorite prayers from A Course in Miracles is, let me find it here. I am here only to be truly helpful. I am here to represent Him who sent me. I do not have to worry about what to say or what to do because He who sent me will direct me. I am content to be wherever He wishes, knowing He goes there with me. I will be healed as I let Him teach me to heal. And as Wayne Dyer says, I am realistic. I expect miracles. So what is miracles in A Course in Miracles? It's just a change in perception from the fear-based consciousness that rules the whole human race and across the whole world to love. We foster love in our hearts for all things through spiritual practice and through prayer. So what is the difference between prayer and meditation? That is another good question. I would say that in reality there is no difference, but you set aside times for meditation. It's very important to meditate when you wake up in the morning. If you don't have a night shift job, you are working, because that kind of confuses people as to when they need to meditate. I have a whole thing that I work on about that, because I've been a night shift nurse for many years. So the point being that you wake up in the morning, because so many of us are not night shift workers, and you meditate 5, 10, 20, 30 minutes. Even 5 minutes of meditation is just an amazing alchemy for the way that you live the rest of your day. It changes everything. Now, how does prayer differ from that? Well, as I used to say, prayer is my way of talking to divine intelligence, and meditation is divine intelligence talking to me. So really, the two practices go hand in hand. They supply each other with great insight, and prayer is a way of having that conversation throughout the day. Pause, reflect, and we really do have to realize that in science has proven that the particle takes on the energy of the observer. So in other words, when a tree falls in the forest and I am not there to see it, has it really fallen? Well, the truth of the matter is it probably hasn't. So the particle takes on the energy of the observer. So that means that if I'm beaming love to my life, if I'm beaming love out from everything that goes before me, if I'm going to a meeting and I beam love into the room and I bless everyone there with a loving intent, that changes the room. That changes the whole way that the meeting, so-called meeting, will take place. And to do that becomes, you can create a habit with this kind of work. What it really comes down to is we are strengthening our spiritual muscle by practices such as prayer and meditation. And the stronger that muscle becomes, all of the old knee-jerk fears and fade away. That is exactly the promise, and it is exactly the experience of those who do this kind of work. It's just amazing, and it's true. Father Gregory Boyle, he is a Jesuit priest in Los Angeles and works with gangs. He said, "What would you rather have? The one false step God leading your life, meaning one false step and you're out. You know, you're judged. You are a bad person. Or would you rather have the no matter what God? I love you no matter what God. And having everything to do with your life. Think about it. That is so awesome. Obviously, the choice is clear. We would rather have the no matter what God. I love you no matter what. So this is the kind of attitude we can assume with the people in our lives. We love you no matter what. I do not judge you. And I assume the position of the compassionate witness, which is a very important, actually, the more you meditate and the more you pray, this compassionate witness takes over your consciousness. So there's no way of telling people, well, you have to do this or do that. You have to have the experience of doing these practices to know that these compassionate entities will rise up, and you just naturally help people along the way. You naturally want to be sure that they are taken care of with your service to humanity. That is what happens when you pray every day. And one of the best ways to pray or to meditate or both would be at certain tower points in the day at 3 a.m. in the morning. This morning at 3 a.m. was a perfect time for me to awake, and I was able to write my blog post, which was of a prayerful vibrational pull. The power points in the day are 3 a.m., 3 p.m., 12 midnight, and 12 noon. So to take, even if nothing, no other time, if you take time at those four power points in the day, to pause and reflect, to pray, to meditate, even for 5 minutes. I had Diana Lang on my radio show not too long ago. I really highly recommend listening to that interview and reading her book about prayer, about meditation, excuse me. And the most incredible thing that she describes is what happens to the mind. It opens, it becomes more intuitive. And there's so much research to show that meditation heals the heals major illness. It basically, because it opens your heart, it helps with blood pressure issues. It helps with things that can happen to the coronary arteries throughout the body, the circulation. And because you have a meditation practice, you're more likely to forgive. I mean, A Course in Miracles is basically one spiritual practice, but spiritual practice is what will help. Whatever spiritual practice you choose will be the thing to help you to forgive. It will help you to love non-judgmentally and help you to love unconditionally. And that is what completely heals the body and heals the spirit. And obviously that's not going to create a situation where you never die, because we are all going to die. So what happens with these spiritual practices is that they prepare us for death. They prepare us for the moment when we go to heaven, which is really heaven is here and heaven is now. So we have to change our orientation from praying for something or praying to something to the whole idea of merging the energy of prayer with that we wish to bring into our lives. And a good example of that is the rain dance of the American Indian. The rain dance was an attempt to become the rain, to merge with rain and manifest its reality into the here and now. And by praying rain instead of praying for rain or praying to rain, pray rain, they became that which they wanted to pull into their lives. So in this way, prayer is not what we do, but who we are. We become what we want to be through these practices. It is a natural prayer and meditation, especially, you know, since we're talking about prayer. Prayer is as natural as the incoming and outgoing breath. And it's as easy as taking one step forward, assuming that a person is able to walk, as easy as taking another step after that. So what is important about prayer is our willingness to turn our attention to the inner reality of the soul, which is eternal. And by touching into that eternal realm, we become who we are here to be. It's interesting. So many people are talking about finding their purpose in life. What am I here to do? I don't think there's much more we need to do but to love and to serve and to remember that which created us. Always to remember that when we plug into that spiritual source, the source which is what created the embryo into the little fetus which grew inside the mom and is born a thriving entity. Now, of course, not everybody is born alive, and I, of all people, know that. But every baby is meant to be a special, beautiful person that they are. For instance, one time we had a Christmas miracle because this baby was not expected to live. The baby had what is called Amish encephaly, microcephaly. So I work with the Amish in Lancaster County, rural Lancaster County. A lot of times we go into the Amish homes. I've learned from that culture the meaning of slowing down and of prayer. They have a natural, and actually I have learned that they're much more mystical, the Amish culture, than I would have ever previously known. And that's another story. But on this particular Christmas day, and the Amish celebrate Christmas, 1225, several years ago, this baby was expected to be born dead. And he was born alive, and he had this amazing, and he did have a very small brain, but he had this amazing capacity to stare into your eye and to stare and stare and stare and gazing moments. In those gazing moments, it was really reaching the hand of our creator, whomever you want to call it. It was very spiritual. It's the Sufi gazing, the gazing into the eye of a person. Well, this is what it was like gazing into this baby. Not only that, but the father was praying to Jesus Christ, whom they believe in their own way, but he was actually talking to Jesus, not just praying, but Jesus was in the room, and I actually saw Jesus because this man invoked his presence. It was unbelievable, and I am not, I have to say, I believe in non-denominational prayer, and I am not a Christian prayer person. I believe in prayer that you have, that motivates you to have that conversation with God, Goddess, Divine Intelligence. But this gentleman, this beautiful Amish young man, Jesus into the room on Christmas Day. And I know it might sound a little woo-woo, but it's exactly what happened. Wow. So, the more we reside within this inner reality, the more we will hear the celestial music, the more we will hear and see those things that are meant to take us into an evolutionary plane that is heaven. We can have heaven on earth, and people often have hell on earth. And people live in such a state of fear. We had a number of shootings over the weekend, and it's tragic. It happens too much, and these, you know, you just wish that they're going to liberate themselves from this hatred, lack of forgiveness, and fear. And really, the only way that these kinds of entities, really, it's like being possessed, can leave is through love and forgiveness and a daily practice, and not some sort of intellectual idea of what love and forgiveness is, but an actual practice where you experience that power. You have to have the experience, not the intellectual idea. Or, yes, I have heard about that, and I think it would be fun to start meditating. But do you meditate? That's the most important thing. So I'm going to bring somebody on the line, and I believe it's my friend Samantha. Hello.
Hi, Kate.
Hi, Samantha. This is my friend Samantha. She and I talk every day as much as we can by different methods. How are you this evening? How's
I'm just wonderful.
Gandalf. She has this lovely dog that is the healer of the universe.
Yes,
how
he's my guru.
Oh, yes.
I love your program. This is a subject dear to my heart.
Yeah, prayer, meditation. What do you think the difference is between the two?
It's interesting, Kate. I saw your article the other day about meditation and prayer being alike, and yet, you know, they are, but I think that distinction between talking and listening is the key. Because in meditation, I always seem to be listening. You know,
yes.
I'm so attuned, but at some point in prayer, I'm also listening. I get myself into a certain space before I pray, and then sorry, I'm on the porch. And then once once I'm there, then I either ask a question or just, you know, appreciate the day or the hour or the moment. I often use prayer when I'm in a store or in around people that are in conflict, because I think that, like you were saying about having that energy go before you, I think that changes the room and it changes the situation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, science has proven this, that by turning your attention to something changes the chemical makeup of that. And really, if you're going to talk about love, which is the only thing that matters, then by beaming love into whatever it is you want to bring into your heart, whether it's just hoping that people get along better in the meeting that you're going to, instead of arguing. And, you know, people go, let's have an intention for this meeting. We intend for, you know, the ego steps in and says, I intend to have, you know, to do this, to accomplish this, A, B, C. Well, that's really not exactly, I mean, that's not really enlightened way of conducting a meeting, you know. But a lot of the ways that we're talking, you don't really say these things. I mean, I might be saying it here, and you and I are both discussing this on our radio show, but I don't go out and talk about it in terms of what I'm doing, you know, sending love or beaming love or trying to become non-judgmental, although I will give lectures to people who will listen about meditation, because I think that is so important. You know, the Dalai Lama said that if we could teach all of the children right now to meditate, there virtually would be no war in the next generation.
I agree.
Yeah, that's awesome.
It is.
So that is really important to get that word out.
Well, it's a great gift to be able to pray and meditate and reach that space of wholeness that isn't always available in our daily lives without that. So for me, it's a very important part of my day, and it's an important part of my night.
Now, have you noticed how weird it is if you don't do it? I'm sure that there's not really much of a time if you don't
do it. Yes, I have, because there's that sort of jangledness, you know, that it's not, something's not quite right.
Yeah, exactly.
That's it.
Well, for me, when I wasn't meditating, I had extreme anxiety that simply getting a meditation practice got rid of it. I feel so much better emotionally. These things are so important for people to realize. It's not all you need to do is 5 minutes. That's what Diana Lang says. She was on my radio show recently, and she wrote the book on meditation, which right now is eluding me, and I don't have it in front of me. But Diana Lang, New World Library, you can just, you know, Google, put her into the Amazon search engine, and she'll come up. But
five minutes
is all you need. Okay.
And I think if you allow yourself the 5 minutes, you will find that you fall into 15 or 20.
Yes.
At least that's what happens to me. I think I just have a minute here. I'm just going to sit quietly. But then I'm lost, you know, and then I'm so much more refreshed and alive and ready for whatever it is that, you know.
Oh, my gosh, did you know? Now, this is Wayne Dyer says this, that, and I'll take a moment to say that we really are sad that we passed, but what the hell? I mean, we all will, and he passed in the best possible way, and we are sending him a lot of love in his journey. But he says that... oh, my God, I forget what I was going to say. It'll come to me. But
it will.
Yes. Well, he said so much. But really, all of his books and all of his lectures basically say the same thing, which is that we are all from the divine. And the more we live from that space, the more we will be self-actualizing our lives.
Mm-hmm.
And this whole idea of purpose, what is my purpose? What is my purpose? The whole purpose is to be in that vibrational pool of love. And he was a student of A Course in Miracles also, so he would weave that in and out of all of his work, that we are here not to get anything, not to be any, you know, millionaire or, you know, so many people start confusing materialism with spiritual truth, you know, there's all that going on. That we're here just to love and be loved and to be happy, because those things do make us happy.
Yes, yes, they do. Yes, they do.
Yeah. So it's an amazing life we're living, and I think having animals is so important too around us. Meaning, if you are into practicing love and not to say that you don't feel the emotions that may arise, but not to say that you don't, if suffering suddenly arises in your consciousness, that you don't feel it or that you deny it, you know, or reject it. That's not what
mm-hmm.
I'm saying. But what I am saying is that animals, if you're in a loving space as much as you can, the animals really respond. And they are harmony barometers, you know. As soon as,
yes, they are.
Yeah, they sense unrest within the human, and they want you to be happy. They want you, then they want to make you happy. They want
mm-hmm.
to make you happy.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly,
and if you're meditating or
yes.
praying,
yes,
they're with you and still.
Yeah, isn't that amazing?
It
truly,
is.
Truly
it's
amazing.
Just they know. They somehow sense it. I mean, even when
yes.
I'm visiting, and my daughter has a dog, and as far as I know, no one in the house meditates, and if they pray, they don't have specific times to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And when I'm there and I'm meditating, their dog and my dog are like right beside me. Or when
oh
I'm praying,
God. They love it.
Yeah,
they love
I think
it.
They just love the energy, that
they do.
Wave of really nice stuff that's coming their way.
Yeah, Pearl loves it. Ulysses, my old golden retriever, he
mm-hmm.
would say, we're going to go out to the barn and meditate. He'd run like a bee to the beeline, to the barn. He'd run into the room and he'd jump on his meditation pillow. And he'd just settle right in and start meditating with us. It was so cute. And Pearl is taking on that also. And I just remembered what I wanted to say about Wayne Dyer. He
Good.
Said that 20 minutes of meditation is worth 8 hours of sleep. So I put this to
wow.
Because we have a lot of babies being born now, and I am getting very little sleep. But instead of thinking that I need to grab a few minutes of sleep like I used to do, and then if I did capture about 5, 10, 20 minutes of sleep, it would be horrible because my body would ache, I felt terrible.
Yeah.
20 minutes of meditation and get up and do the patient care, I feel refreshed, I feel loving, I feel happy. And I have put it to the test instead of believing anything anybody says. It works. And I don't need as much sleep as I once did.
Well,
yeah.
That's great.
Yes. So that's the thing. We don't need as much sleep, even though if you want to sleep as much, it's fine. That's not my point. But it's just that you, and the work that I do as a nurse and on night shift, if only these powers that be, like the people, the nurses in the hospital, could say, I wish to meditate 5 minutes and I'll be back or whatever, just cover for me. And because they're not allowed to sleep, but maybe they'll be allowed to meditate, because that would be a very high consciousness kind of place to allow a nurse or whomever, a doctor, to meditate. So of course
sure.
they need to want to do it. And
yeah.
that's the other thing. People say might talk a lot about it. They say, oh yeah, I've read about meditation, but do they really do it? No, a lot of people don't. I don't understand it. It's not that hard. It's free, and it really, really works. Wow. it works.
Well, I think if they would get into a regular practice, Kate, they would see that it works. But a lot of people that I've talked to, when I talk to them about meditation, say to me, well, it's so hard. You know, I tried, but it's so hard. And I said, well, how often did you try? And they said, well, one or two times.
Yeah, you had to get into it.
As if that's supposed to, you know, you can barely get your head quiet one or two times.
Yeah,
I've often said that my brain was like popcorn. Geez, for me, it took weeks to, you know, years ago to get quiet.
Yes. Yes. Well, of course, as we get older, I think that gets a little easier because we're growing more into our preparation for passing. You know, we know that we are going to die. So the best way to prepare for this is with these practices, because we realize there's nothing to fear.
Yes.
Except, I hate to say it, but except fear itself.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's great, though. I think that to get the word out about that. Now, we have a monthly program that we do over at the Unitarian Church, which is meditation, but also the Sufi gazing thing that I was describing with that little Christmas miracle baby.
Oh, yes.
That was just what we're doing is gazing into the eyes of people and asking, who am I? And the person will say, I am whatever comes into their mind. I am the breeze. I am love. Or even if they say, I am whatever it is that they say is fine. There's no judgment. They could say something that we might consider to be negative, but it's not negative because that's a judgment. So I am this, I am that, and then it goes to the other person. I am this and I am that. And after a while, it goes into such an amazing space of almost to the point where the walls start to melt. And it's almost like you see that the molecules that are holding everything or seemingly holding everything together is an illusion. You see that, and after a while, you're sort of in this cosmic soup. And I can't do it that much. I couldn't do it for days on end, because I can do it for a period of time, like 4 hours at a time. And then it's time to ground yourself and maybe to eat something that brings you back. But wow, it is very powerful stuff. It's better than any drug, you know. It is the ultimate natural high, basically.
Mm-hmm.
So, that's all I wanted to say tonight. And I think that healing happens from doing these practices. We heal.
Yes. Yes, we do. Thanks, Kate, for your program. I'm going to get off, so if somebody else wants to talk, they'll be there.
Well, they're not here right now, and that's fine. I think that I appreciate your calling in, though. Thanks. And we'll talk again.
Yes. Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye. So I guess what I could do is say a prayer, which is something that would be really fun to do. So Heavenly Father, Divine Mother, Jesus, Krishna, Buddha, Muhammad, we sit here and revere the fact that you have given so much to this world and to the worlds beyond. My guru, Yogananda, his teachings have brought me into sync with the beautiful power that is present everywhere. And it's so easy to fall out of sync by stopping spiritual practice. But I have decided that I am in the post-meditation era of my life. I will be meditating 3 times a day because it is helping me to tune into the Buddha, the Krishna, the Christ consciousness, and all the gurus and all the saints of the world come forth to bless us when we give our energy away in such a way that we foster love in our hearts for all sentient beings. May we see the end of suffering in this world. May the sending prayer to Syrian refugees that are starving to death and being killed by ISIS. May ISIS suddenly have some sort of enlightenment and of their own, where they realize that only love is real. May we hope that all people on earth realize that only love is real, to forgive everyone, bless the world, forgive, forgive, forgive. That is the only answer. Amen. So thanks to you all for listening. I love you all. And until next time, peace on earth.